Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Ah, buenos dias, America. Welcome, everybody. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you. Yeah, I know we're culturally appropriating, but we're talking about tacos. So I don't care what you call me. We've got a really terrific show for you today. A lot happening all over the nation. And by the way, a lot of protests last night in New York City. We're going to get to that in just a little while. I have some good news. May I start the show out today with some good news? Is that okay? Great. Yesterday, thank you for that, Grace Baker. Yesterday on this program, we told you about a story involving a Catholic hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, St. Francis Hospital. And for the past 60 years, they have had a candle burning. They call it the Eternal Flame. And this candle has been burning for 60 years inside the chapel of this hospital. And it's all on the uppity up. It's not like they just stuck a candle out there and it's dripping all over the place. It's in a lovely glass canister, has a lid on it. Meets all the fire code policies there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Fire marshal, we're good to go. So anyway, the Biden administration comes in and they say, sorry, the candle's got to go. You got to snuff out the eternal flame, you Catholics. And they threatened the Catholics because they pushed back and they said, all right, look, you've got a choice here. You can either keep the flame burning or we're going to yank all your Medicare, all your Medicaid funding. What you want to do? Well, I'll tell you what they did. I'm going to tell you what they did. They called the Beckett Lawyer Group, great religious liberty team, and they let us know. And then, in turn, we let you know, and many of you called and emailed. You lit up the phones, and it was a beautiful thing. And I have great news because this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the flame burns bright. The Biden administration has officially backed off because of the great listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program. So I say good for you. Well done. As we used to sing in Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You don't hide it under a bushel, even for the Bidens. So good for you people. Well done. All right, now on to the story. And if you follow us on our social media platforms, you know where I'm about to go. Barstool Sports is in the headlines. Dave Portnoy is a darling of the conservative media world. And a lot of people may not realize that he actually sold or now an entertainment group actually owns a majority of the company. So Penn Entertainment, founded by Portnoy, is actually owned by a group called Penn Entertainment. So anyway, this week there was a big controversy. There is a young host. His name is Ben Mintz, M-I-N-T-Z. And he got himself in a little bit of hot water. Now, he was reading the lyrics of a rap song during a live stream. And as he was reading the rap lyrics out loud, and this was from a group called Bone Thugs and Harmony. I've never heard of the group. That group is not on my playlist, ladies and gentlemen. I have Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I do not have Bone Thugs in Harmony. And it's not like and, it's in, like pork in beans. It's Thugs in Harmony. So they have a song. I'm not going to repeat the lyrics. I don't even know what the lyrics are, but the lyrics included the N-word, and that's all you need to know. So anyway, the guy was just reading through the lyrics. I guess that particular, I don't know how old the guy is. He's not that old, but he's reading the lyrics and thought nothing of it because they're lyrics to a song that he apparently really enjoyed. And as soon as he said it, I mean, it was a slip. It was an accident. It just happened. It's not like he was intentionally going out there and calling someone that word. So anyway, he apologizes profusely. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, it's really sad that you have to do the amount of apology and remorse that one must conjure when using that word. It's off the charts. I will say this. I have just think about this for a moment. What is in today's society? What is the unforgivable sin? What is the unforgivable sin? No. I know Dylan's a big University of Tennessee Vols. It is not liking Alabama. No, that's not it. That is not the unforgivable sin. That's not it. I'm going to tell you the unforgivable sin. Is it murder? If you go out and plunge a knife into somebody over and over and over again, is that the unforgivable sin? Or is it using the N-word? I would contend, ladies and gentlemen, that the greater evil in America is not going out and shooting someone execution style in the streets. It's actually uttering that word. Because when you utter that word, they will destroy you. There is no going back from it. There is no amount of apology that you can offer. Your life is over. Because according to that demographic, that is the most egregious thing you can ever do in your life. Period. Hands down. You could actually, follow me here, you could fly jetliners into a building and explode those buildings, and people could literally jump out of those buildings and land on the ground. And if you ever use that word, that is the more evil crime. Folks, I'm just telling you, I'm calling it like it is. And that is why on this program, I try to tell all you moms and dads that you need to sit down with your white children and you need to have the talk. Have you had the talk, white parents, with your children? Because you need to. And you need to sit down and you need to tell your child the following things. You will not listen to music that includes that word. You will not watch movies that include that word. You will not go to concerts that include that word. You won't read books that include that word. And you won't support any artist, even if they have a song that doesn't include that word. You're not going to listen to music from that artist, because one day, and hear me on this, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Because I'm going to tell you something important here. One day, very soon, if they find out that you actually purchased a ticket to a concert where that word was uttered on the stage, they will come after you. Hear me on this. Remember a couple of years ago what happened. You had a concert. One of the artists invited a fan up onto the stage, and she's singing along with her favorite artist, and she sings that word right alongside of the artist, who she was white, he was black, and the entire concert hall, it was a hush. And then they started attacking this woman. I'm just telling you, there's one set of rules governing black artists and another set governing white fans. And I say this, it's always better to err on the side of caution. Boycott everything. That's what I say. So back to this Barstool story. You know what? I'm going to take a break. And we're going to get back to this story. 844-747-8868. My question is this. Do you agree or disagree with me? Am I overstating the case here? Am I overstating the case? Because this young man, and we're going to get to the rest of his story in just a moment, this young man's life is pretty much over. And I know Dave Portnoy is out there saying, oh, this is terrible. It's a horrible decision that Penn made. Or if it's so bad, then Dave Portnoy needs to step aside from Barstool Sports to make a statement. But is that the moment where you, as a business owner, say, that's it, you're gone? Clearly, this guy meant nothing. He meant nothing of it. He was quoting lyrics. And it doesn't matter how much he apologizes. His life, as he knows it, is now over. So I don't know about you and your family situation, but if I were you, I would just say, you know, for example, let's say Quentin Tarantino movies. I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan. I don't watch his movies anymore because some of those movies actually include actors using that particular word. And you say, well, Todd, that's because it's a movie. It's in context. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They could come after me and say, Todd Starnes is a racist because he was watching a Quentin Tarantino movie. Kill Bill. And they use that word. And he was sitting there watching them use that word. Therefore, he is guilty. Of what? It doesn't matter. The N-word was uttered. So again, here's, I don't know how many times we have to have this conversation. We were talking about this a couple of months ago with the poor white quarterback whose only crime was singing along to the song. An 18-year-old had his scholarship to the University of Florida, a horrible team in the SEC, but a SEC team nevertheless. Go Vols. But this young man lost his scholarship simply because he was singing along on the radio to his favorite rap artist. So I'm telling all of you white people out there, you need to boycott the black rappers that are using this word just to protect yourself. By the way, remember what happened at that story? There was a black football coach at a historically black school and felt compassion for this young man and said, young man, I want you to come and I want you to be a part of our football program at this historically black school. And they almost fired that coach because of what he did. The coach had to rescind the scholarship offer. And what did I tell you? There is no mercy. There is no grace for anyone who uses this word. You can go and you can kill somebody in the streets and they will be more forgiving of you. What does that say about our country? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to Larry in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Larry, what say you? Am I off base here, sir?
Well, not off base as much as not as inclusive in your words. There are several key words that you can't say anymore. And obviously, that connotation of just talking, you can't say it. I totally understand it. I totally understand what that means to a group of people. Okay, sensitive, absolutely I am. You can't say the word boy either.
Unless you're the president of the United States.
Exactly. You might be able to pull it off. But the whole point is, you know, corporate America, the woke society, is basically, you know, they're against white Christian males. And it's set up to be against that, which, hey, as long as you know that going into it, you know, that's what it is. Everything against that. Because if you look out, I was listening to your friends at Fox, and they were talking about a survey. And they said, you know, how do you identify when you walk into a room and there are people of color? Do you mention that? Do you mention that there are people of color? And the lady said, no, you can't mention that. And then she, what if you don't acknowledge that there are people of color? Well, you can't do that either. So the point being here is,
damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's what it is, Larry. All right.
Exactly. And so,
all right, Larry, I'm running late for a break here, but I think we get your point. So Larry from Salem, Oregon says being the Christian white male is the unforgivable sin. And it very well, he may very well have a point here. So we're going to go to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, I finally had to cut back on the barbecue and the sweet tea, and now I'm starting to lose weight thanks to a great new product called Calitrin. Now, Calitrin contains an amino acid called glycine, which increases serotonin levels, and that makes me sleep better at night, and it also helps me lose weight. It is safe and natural, better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and believe it or not, glowing skin. And who doesn't like glowing skin? Calitrin is good for you. You're giving your body back what it needs. Calitrin is not a quick fix, but it is a long-term solution for you to take the weight off and keep it off. And get this, it's 100% safe. So even if you're on medications, there are no drugs or stimulants, and that's what makes Calitrin so different. So give them a call right now. Do what I did, 833-TOP-LOSS, or log on to toploss.com and use the promo code Todd. That's 833-TOP-LOSS, promo code Todd. Well, that's what it sounded like in Brooklyn, New York last night. As, by the way, that's in my old neighborhood. I wish I would have been there. I would have had my megaphone out. I would have had a few choice words to say. Wow. So why were they protesting? Well, this is all over the violent madman who tried to attack passengers on a subway car, a guy by the name of Jordan Neely. And a U.S. Marine veteran stepped in, put the guy in a chokehold. And by the way, it wasn't just him. There were a couple of other passengers that helped subdue this guy, including a black man. But now we understand the Marine has been outed, so they have doxed the Marine. The Marine has lawyered up, and they're calling for the Marine to be arrested. AOC is now saying this was a public execution. Well, you know what? I have a question for AOC. Let's just say Sandy Cortez was on that subway car and that Jordan Neely was attacking her and punching her in the face and beating the living crap out of the congresswoman. And there was blood coming out of her nose and coming out of her mouth because he's punching her and over and over and over again. So there's a Marine there. What does the Marine do? Does he intervene and try to stop the madman from attacking Sandy Cortez, the congresswoman? Or does he stand down? What would you do in that situation? I suspect that Marine would have done the exact same thing. He would have stepped in and he would have stopped the madman from attacking Sandy Cortez, the bartender who is now a congresswoman. But Cortez is out there and she's demanding justice. She believes that madman had the right to go out there and attack people on that subway train. By the way, we're getting some new intel on this dude. Now the narrative is, oh, he's just a sweet little boy. And he was a Michael Jackson impersonator and he loved to do the moonwalk on the subways. Well, we now know that to be partially untrue. It turns out this guy was a Michael Jackson impersonator, but he was an impersonator about a decade ago. So for the past decade, the guy has been causing all sorts of mayhem. As a matter of fact, there is video of him in Times Square where he threatened to beat the living daylights out of some guy who was videotaping a film there. It's ugly stuff. Ugly. And we also know this guy's been arrested 42 times, at least four of those times he was arrested for assaulting someone. So this is a bad guy, but it doesn't matter. He is the new George Floyd. So this guy in New York City is the new George Floyd. The protesters need somebody to take to the streets for, and he's the guy. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to trigger people. Grace, I'm in a mood to trigger people today. Even though it's Friday, I'm going to be triggering a lot of the leftists.
You just want to go out with a bang on the week?
Yeah, sort of. So there's a story that Fox has been covering, and Fox has a bad habit of doing this. If a blonde goes missing, if a good-looking blonde person goes missing or gets murdered, Fox is all over the story. If you're a brunette or a redhead, sorry. My apologies, Grace.
Good to know. I'd be out of luck.
Right? It's true, though, right?
It is true. You're not wrong.
Have you seen anybody ugly? Have they covered the kidnapping of anybody
Instagram
ugly?
Instagram models. You notice? It's like the Instagram influencers.
Any fat people, if you're fat and you get kidnapped, you're screwed. That's it. Fox isn't interested.
Aww.
So I'm going to give you, I'm going to tell you the story after the break, but I want to get your opinion on this, but it is true. You have to be a certain demographic to get Fox News coverage. All right, we got to take a break.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
Good to have you back with us. And I didn't want to get sidetracked here, but I wanted to finish my thought before we had to take a break here. So, Grace, you had asked me a question in the break about whether or not the whole missing blonde thing was a real deal,
yes,
was a real thing.
I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. We would talk about that at Fox. It was sort of like the running conversation.
Yeah.
Whenever a blonde would go missing, we knew that Greta and the team in the primetime would be picking up that
wow.
story and going with it.
Interesting.
Somebody proved me wrong. Seriously.
No, I believe you.
And look, here's my dilemma. If Todd Starnes goes missing,
uh-oh.
They're not going to care about an old, fat, white guy, right? I don't meet that demographic.
They're not going to worry about me either because I'm brunette. So.
No, and you are. So it's a specific, you got to have blonde, mm-hmm. you got to look hot. And if that's the case, then boom, you're going to get covered.
I guess we need to go dye our hair. At least dye our hair, right?
I'm all for that. I got to get my hair cut this weekend. I don't go to one of the salons. I go to a man cave.
You go to
place.
Like a barber shop.
I go to a barber shop.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a great barber shop too.
Very nice.
But yeah, I mean, if so, seriously, you hate to say it, but. First of all, it's a terrible tragedy, and it's good for all the blonde people because at least your crimes are probably going to get solved.
That's a good point.
The rest
of
us,
Netflix special.
Yeah, 20 years from now, we're going to be a Lifetime special.
Yeah.
What happened to Starnes?
What happened to him?
You know, I was talking to a couple. We were on back years ago when I was on the Obama coverage. I had to travel around with Obama, and a couple of the other journalists were all sitting back there, and these are all pretty well-known people. Back then, we weren't all that well-known. And so we're sitting there, and we were like, you know, we hit some turbulence, and it was a pretty dicey situation for a little while.
Ooh.
And we said to ourselves, you know, if this plane goes down, you know, the story is going to be all about Barack Obama.
Oh, of course.
And then at the very last sentence of the New York Times, also on the plane,
yes,
Todd Starnes.
Yes.
Fox News.
Of course.
You
guys would
last.
Be like in the footnotes of the story.
That's
no
exactly
offense,
right.
But that's what it would have been.
So anyway, my point is this, and we're getting to this, Grace, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. So there is a missing woman, and they found her body. She has passed. And she was a hiker. And it turns out that the suspect in this case happens to be a black guy. He has a long rap sheet, so he has been in and out of jail. What is her name again? Lauren Heike is her name, and Zion Teasley is the alleged attacker. He's facing a first-degree murder charge. So black guy kills white woman. In New York City, you have white guy kills black person. But this was actually in self-defense in New York City. But just bear with me for a moment. How come all of these people marching the streets aren't marching in protest over what happened on that hiking trail? Where's AOC and Ayanna Pressley and Rashida Tlaib and Al Sharpton? Why aren't they marching for the victim of this crime in Arizona?
Because, Todd, she was a white woman.
She was a white woman.
And
yeah,
the suspect was a black
guy.
Man.
Yeah.
There you go.
Again, this has become an issue, and it's only become a bigger issue. because society wants to literally make whites, Hispanics, Asian Americans, all of us second-class citizens. Because the race agitators will tell you that only blacks could be victims of discrimination. Only blacks could be victims of hate crimes.
Oh, yeah.
Just want to throw that out there. It's an inconvenient truth for a lot of people, but it is what it is. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Connor in Boston wants to weigh in on this subway case. Hey, Connor, what you got for us?
You know, I'm going to tell you, I can't even imagine just the hypocrisy that people like AOC have when she comes out there and comments on like a public execution when it comes to a Marine out there who's making serving the public, even when he's not on duty. I think they have a saying for the Marines, like once a Marine, always Marine. Even if he's not on duty, it's like a 24/7 job for them. It's an attack on them. And also, you know, it's like this is the same woman right here who had a stalker. I know this was in the media. I'm not sure how long ago, but, you know, people like of the armed services and people of like security and staff protected her from that person. Is that somehow like racist or is that somehow against what she believes in? No. But it's just an attack on basically white people. It's an attack on military men and women, which they have a problem with. And it's just another political talking point for people like Sandy Cortez, you know, the same woman who's dancing on top of the Prudential Center here in Boston.
Well, fair enough. Connor, the challenge is going to be what the district attorney is going to do, because I think the mayor, when he saw, and Eric Adams is a former member of the NYPD, so he has probably seen all the surveillance video and he knows what happened. You've got all the eyewitnesses there. You've got two other guys, and notice how they're only singling out the white Marine. They're not. I mean, you had a black guy that also helped subdue this person, but he's left out of the narrative because that doesn't fit the narrative.
Of course, yeah. And you know, if it's a district attorney, like the same one, Alvin, whatever his last name is,
Alvin Bragg.
Alvin Bragg, right? A Looney Tune, Cracker Jack attorney, in my opinion, who is prosecuting President Trump. I'm sure this guy will go down too, and. You know, probably be charged with probably first-degree murder if this guy has any say over it.
Well, he's lawyered up. The Marine has lawyered up, and they've doxed his information, which is a sad thing. But it looks, when you see how he handled this, it was clear he was neutralizing the situation. He had gently brought the man down. It's not like he was slammed down. And these other guys were all trying to assist. I say good for those men. And I know Sean Hannity is catching a lot of flack because someone in the studio audience yesterday cheered. But I salute what this guy did. And it's a terrible tragedy when anybody dies. But you know what? If the guy wasn't acting like a raving lunatic, he would still be alive today.
You and me might both, my friend. You know, it's like we salute this person, salute their service. And, you know, for anybody that doxed him, you know, like the Media Matters folks who are probably like, you know, on whatever websites, by, you know, from their mother's basement. You know, shame on them. And, you know, it's like they don't have any respect for the military, and they will never know what it's like to serve. And that's very sad for them.
It is. All right, Connor, appreciate your thoughts, as always. Thanks for calling in today. And by the way, it is Open Line Friday, so whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. Again, our telephone number is 844-747-8868. By the way, have you noticed how ESPN is giving CNN a run for its money as the most triggered network in American history? Have you guys noticed this? So you have an ESPN host, and he's going to town on this issue of Mount Rushmore. Do we have this audio? Did I send you guys that audio? All right. So Here's the backstory. Jay Williams, who is the NBA analyst for ESPN, they're having this little conversation, and somebody mentioned that LeBron and somebody else are going to be on the Mount Rushmore of whatever. So Jay Williams is very upset, and he says, "How dare you? How dare you mention Mount Rushmore?" And Jay Williams is out there saying that we need to ban Mount Rushmore from the style guide over at ESPN. And he's not the only one over there. Jalen Rose as well, very upset that they're referencing Mount Rushmore. So Jay Williams says, talking about George Washington and Abe Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and Thomas Jefferson, they're not even the four best presidents the country's ever had. Everyone in this room was not even able to vote. I just want to say that off the top. That's our metric for success. That's our king. All right, well, I have a question for Mr. Williams. I mean, if the presidents up there on Mount Rushmore are really that bad, if they're really that bad, does Jay Williams have a problem with Abe Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation? Does he have a problem with that? Would he have preferred the South won the Civil War? I mean, really, let's take a listen.
Please.
Let me handle one thing off the top before I address you, Mr. Yes, Stephen A. Smith. Yes, I'm sitting in your chair today. I feel the power. Feel it? Can we first off just stop with the Mount Rushmore talk? They're not even the four best presidents this country has ever had. Everyone in this room was not even able to vote. I just want to say that off the top. That's our metric for success. That's our king. I'll leave that conversation for another day.
We just use it as a metaphor.
I understand. I just had to say it.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Now to you. I've been waiting to say this line to you for so long. Stay off the weed! Stephen A.
Okay, we're done. That's all I wanted to hear was the first part. This is about Mount Rushmore. So I would, you know, some people might say that guy is a butthole. He's a butthead. But I don't want to insult that particular orifice. This guy is a complete moron. And then Jalen Rose, who, by the way, is worth $40 million in racist America, says we need to retire using Mount Rushmore. It should be offensive to us all, especially Native Americans, indigenous people who were the first people here before Columbus. That land was stolen from them when it was discovered that it contained gold. What? He goes on, and I'm not going to give you the time of day. So anyway, Jalen Rose and Jay Williams are what I like to call culture jihadists. They want to turn American history into a heaping pile of rubble. And what cracks me up about these two? They're making tens of millions of dollars a year in a country they claim is oppressive and racist. Makes no sense at all. All right, let's go to WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Joe on the line. Hey, Joe, what you got for us?
Todd, let me just preface my comments by saying zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Isn't it a wonderful day today?
Hey, now, don't be triggering the folks at Disney, Joe.
I hear you, Todd. I just wanted to comment a little bit. You brought up the point yesterday at these hospitals here in North Carolina are starting to transition kids at 2 years old, toddlers. And it makes me sick to my stomach since we have a beautiful 2.5-year-old granddaughter to even think of something like that happening. And as I said to Grace, where are the parents in all this? Or the medical board? How is this even being allowed to happen?
It's a great question, Joe. And a lot of this is happening because people stood down and said nothing. You had a lot of people at Duke University and some of the other places, UNC and I believe ECU, and they've stood down and they've said nothing. And unless you stand up and you say something, you know, nothing's really going to change.
Well, it seems like we have almost lost all sense of any moral decency in this country. It's just when you start messing with 2 year olds, it's just sickening. It's sick. I don't know what else to say about it.
It really is, Joe, and the idea that they're going to be out there trying to do these medical mutilation surgeries on young children is beyond the pale, and we've got to do something about it.
It just tells me that the Lord is coming soon. This place is just going to heck in a handbasket.
Yes.
I don't see how it lasts much longer.
Yes, sir. It is. All right, Joe, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Again, our phone number for Open Line Fridays, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Some breaking news from Washington. The head of the CDC has resigned. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, now out of a job. And I say, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. We'll be right back, America. right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Some bad news, sad news, disappointing news. Yellowstone is officially coming to an end. I love that series. It was just fantastic. And Yellowstone is now officially ending after five seasons. The problem was Kevin Costner. And Costner was very difficult to work with on the set. And but he made the show. He really was the show. And now the show is no more. You know, the other issue is Taylor Sheridan's wife got involved. And over the last season or so, the last couple of seasons, Yellowstone was getting a little woke. You could see it. So the wife needed to go. But unfortunately, Kevin Costner only wanted to work one day a week, and you can't do that when you're in the TV business. I'm telling you, these guys, and Costner's a little on the wokey side, too. So we don't know what's going to happen, but Taylor Sheridan is telling us that there is another series he's working on. It's going to be a spinoff of Yellowstone, and the rumor is, the rumbling is Matthew McConaughey is going to star in whatever that series is. I'm really disappointed. All in all, I thought Yellowstone was a good program. Did you ever see it, Grace Baker?
Not one time.
Really?
No.
It's a huge fan of
I
that
know.
Show.
I've watched other shows kind of like that, like Heartland, if you've heard of that
no,
one.
No. This is the non-Christian version.
I was going to say Heartland's very tame. People know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, people are getting blown up. There's a lot of cussing.
No.
Shooting.
I kind of want to watch the spinoff. Did you watch the spinoff with Harrison Ford in it? I'm a big Harrison Ford fan.
That was a good one.
Okay.
That was a real good one.
That's kind of what I'm more interested
Really enjoyed that one.
Okay.
But so anyway, it's just sad. It's sad to see. And again, this was a show where men were men and women were women.
And horses were horses.
And the horses.
Cows were cows.
Cows were cows. All was right with the world. You know, I'm just telling you.
It's good. Not, I wasn't going to say wholesome, but no, American fun.
Well, sort of.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. All right, let's go to the phones. Jeremy in Michigan. Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I'm worried about this Marine getting railroaded in this case that happened in New York, just like the poor, poor Proud Boys did. What do you think about the Proud Boys getting indicted for seditious conspiracy?
Well, I haven't followed the Proud Boys. My contention and my argument has always been, Jeremy, and for longtime listeners of the show, they will know this, that whoever broke the law on January 6th needs to suffer the full penalty of the law, and whoever did not should not. So that's basically been so I haven't really been following a lot of those court cases. But I'm with you. I'm concerned about this young Marine in New York City, and I'm afraid he will get railroaded.
Well, let me tell you something. A lot of those Proud Boys said they were there because of moronic Donald Trump. So when do you think they're going to nail Trump for sedition?
Well, Trump has not been charged. As a matter of fact, the FBI investigated Jeremy, and the FBI determined that Trump had no role in any of what happened on January 6th. So there's no criminal liability there. And that's where we're at on that one. Jeremy, got to run. Appreciate the call. I'm not sure where Jeremy was going with that, but Trump hasn't been charged with any crimes. As a matter of fact, as you know, and again, if you're looking at the partisan investigations, the J6 committee, yeah, they believe that he was there and was the first guy through the doors. But as far as the law goes, there was no crime committed by the president. It's all very simple. All very simple. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. Hour two coming up. Look, we're just getting started. We're going to be taking your calls. It is Open Line Friday. That means whatever you want to talk about, you can talk about. 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Love. live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Friday to you. Grace Baker, I know we've got a lot of folks wanting to hop on the program here, and we're going to get to the lines in just a second. But when I launched this radio program many years ago, one of the things I committed to was helping our fellow mankind. You know, we don't mock here on the program.
Okay.
We love people no matter their lot
in
life.
We do.
I'm trying.
We might make some jokes along the way, though.
Stop. Why am I giggling? So we need your help, ladies and gentlemen, on this Open Line Friday. There is a gentleman by the name of Sean Gates. He is a tax guy. He lives in the Washington, D.C. area. And he is in a bit of a pickle, a bit of a moral pickle, if you will, Grace Baker.
Okay.
I don't know if it's kosher or not. That doesn't matter. We help all. Gentile, Jewish, it doesn't matter. I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyway, he posted a question, a survey, and he's needing some guidance here, and I think our audience could probably help him out a little bit. He says, an unhoused person stole his daughter's stroller the other night. And by unhoused, that's what they're calling homeless people
okay.
these days. So an unhoused person, and this is all serious, folks. I am not, this is an honest-to-goodness question on Twitter. An unhoused person stole our daughter's stroller the other night. We found it at the nearby Starbucks. Of course. Here's the question. Is it wrong to steal it back?
Wait, what? That's your property.
Of course
it
is.
Take it back.
So the choices are steal it back or sunk cost, let it go.
It's not stealing it back. It's just taking back your property. Ay, ay, ay. This is what we've come to.
This is what we've come to. All right, what do you tell this guy? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. You know what? I want to do this. This is kind of weird, but we've got Congressman Bob Good from Virginia who is scheduled to join us. But it turns out that Congressman Andrew Clyde from Georgia is actually back in his district listening to the program. I want to bring both of them on together if we can. Congressman Good, Congressman Clyde, hope you're doing well.
Good afternoon, Todd. Do we got my friend Andrew Clyde on the line?
Yes, we certainly do. We do, Bob. That's great. Great to be with you and
How's
Todd.
How's my brother from Georgia?
Doing well.
It's like a family reunion here, guys.
It is. Andrew, I just told my team to sign me on to your letter to the veteran, Secretary of the Veteran Affairs. Challenge him for the lies he's telling to our veterans about the bill we just passed out of the House to put us on a path of fiscal responsibility. Great job, Andrew.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. And Todd, I was listening to you and heard my staff just told me that CDC Director Walensky just resigned. And that is phenomenal. That goes back to a appropriations hearing we had last month where she lied to us. And we sent a letter to the Select Committee on the Coronavirus Pandemic asking them to investigate the truthfulness of her testimony and to hold her accountable when she said vaccinated people do not carry the virus and they don't get sick. And I asked her if that previous statement of hers back in March of 2021 was correct, and she said at the time it was, and that is a flat out lie. So we sent that letter in, and I'm hoping that helped her realize that she needs to resign.
And Congressman Good, I'd like to get your reaction as well. Walensky just stepping down, and I would say in the past hour or so.
Well, that's great news. Andrew is breaking this news for me. I had not heard it previously. Great work, Andrew. And the good news, too, is the statute of limitations on accountability for these officials to be investigated and held accountable by Congress does not expire. She can resign, but she can't run from what she did to the country and her part in lying to the country, deceiving the country about the risk of the virus, the veracity of the vaccine, being part of the shutdowns and the lockdowns and the deception about the veracity of masks and She needs to be held accountable. She abused the power of her position, and it's good folks on our oversight committee like Andrew are holding her accountable.
You know, Congressman Good, just a few moments ago, President Biden took a few Q&A, did a few Q&A moments with the media, and he said that he was holding a major press conference this afternoon. Then the White House comes out and immediately backtracks and said there's been absolutely no change to the president's schedule. I'm just curious, how concerned are you, and are there legitimate concerns about the president's capabilities?
Well, I think all of us can easily recognize that he's diminished, he's fading, he's slipping, he's struggling. He can't remember that he was in Ireland. He can't remember how many grandkids that he has, let alone the one that he won't recognize. He doesn't know which direction to go to get off of the stage. He shakes hands with the air. He gets befuddled and confused. However, I'm primarily concerned about his harmful policies. If you had set out 2.5 years ago to ruin the country, what would you have done differently than spend us into bankruptcy, than to weaken our military, diminish our stature on the world stage, compromise and surrender American energy independence, open the borders up to millions of illegal aliens to invade? What would you have done differently? So I do believe he is all in on the policies and the harm and how he is trying intentionally to ruin the country, and that's what I'm primarily concerned about.
You know, Congressman Clyde, we're 6 days out from Title 42 expiring, and we're already starting to see people camping out on the other side of the border, just waiting to make that huge surge. Is that a big deal for people back in your congressional district in Georgia?
Todd, it certainly is a big deal, because what we have seen when we have an open southern border is that all states become a border state. And we have seen it with the drugs coming in across the fentanyl. I'm 14,000 pounds of it come across last year. I mean, this is just completely unacceptable. You will never have a secure country if you don't have a secure border. Title 42 is part of it. But, you know, if the president would only just obey the law and enforce the law, then we would have a secure border. But him, through Secretary Mayorkas, he is not doing that. That is not his policy. And it's only going to further erode the security of our nation. And it's a disgrace. President Biden has to be held accountable for it. Honestly, we need to impeach Mayorkas over it. And having Title 42 go away is a very, very big deal.
Yeah, and Congressman Good, I mean, we were running the numbers, and they're expecting roughly 400,000 people a month to be coming across that border. By the end of the Biden presidency, you could have upwards of 12, 13 million illegals living in this nation. Can we sustain that? I mean, we're so far in debt as a country right now. You look at the jobs numbers, which it looks like the Biden administration significantly fudged over the past month or so. How big of an impact is this going to have on us?
I think you can argue that among the many crises, existential threats that have been created by this administration's policies, that the border is the worst of all crises. It's an economic security issue. It's a health security issue. It's an education issue. But it's also, most importantly, a national security issue. Untold harm has been done if we seal the border today, because while they have let in, welcomed in, processed in, every resource they've gotten is to get as many illegals in the country as quickly as possible, some 5.5 million in just over 2 years, that they've released in the interior of the country. There's a 1.5 million criminal terrorist gotaways who are, as Andrew said, trafficking drugs and children and sex trafficking, and they have the criminal backgrounds, the terrorist backgrounds, who don't want free education, free health care, free social services, free travel, free housing. And these are the ones who we have no idea why they're here, what intentional harm they will commit. And he's done irreparable harm to the country. If we sealed the border today, we should, as Andrew said, we're both on impeachment articles for Mayorkas, but we also should impeach Biden and not allow him to. I think it's going to be 15 million by the time he's done if we don't, if we're not successful in somehow getting him to reverse course on these policies.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there. And Congressman Good, we appreciate you playing along here. And Congressman Clyde, thanks for listening to the show out there in the district.
Well, thank you, Todd. Great to be with you as always. And to my friend, Bob Good, phenomenal member of Congress as well. Thank you for all your hard work too, Bob.
Same as you. Andrew is one of the courageous conservative warriors, and he demonstrates it every day up there. So see you soon. Thank you again, Todd. Great to be with you.
All right. Congressman Andrew Klein from Georgia and Congressman Bob Good from Virginia. So you never know who's listening to the program out there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Daryl in Oregon wanting to weigh in. Also, William in North Carolina. Lines are open, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, you heard those gentlemen on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Man, do we love our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they have been partners with us, and we just love those folks. We have had so many emails from people saying, Todd, I wasn't sure about dropping AT&T or Verizon, but we did it, and we've never been happier. And I love hearing those great stories. So we would love for you to consider joining the good people at Patriot Mobile for your wireless carrier service. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. They have a plan to fit any budget, and if you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to provide you with some great, great discounts. Now, if you use my promo code, Todd, they're going to give you free premier activation and a free gift. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. We'll be right back. This is weird. So Joe Biden announced just a few moments ago that there was going to be a major press conference. He was holding a major press conference this afternoon. And all of a sudden, the White House is coming out and saying, we don't know what he's talking about. There is no press conference. So now they're saying that the president was mistaken. Okay, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? That the president was mistaken. I mean, do you really come out there? And apparently it had something to do with an interview he's doing with MSDNC this afternoon. So, I mean, how many times does this guy mess up like this? I just don't get it. By the way, big, 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 big concert in Nashville. Have you heard about this? So there is there's a big Taylor Swift concert. And Grace, help me to understand this. They're like, many, many things happening in Nashville. So literally every hotel is booked in the entire city. You've got churches that are actually opening up their parking lots to accommodate cars. And Taylor Swift is doing not one, not two, but three concerts.
Yeah, it's like a three-night event. So basically, if you live in the area, just stay home.
Stay home.
Oh, it's terrible.
So is it the same concert every night, or is it like a three-part concert?
It's basically the same concert every night, but there's like special guests each night.
Oh, I see.
As I understand it.
So, well, my understanding is, and I was talking to Pamela Furr, she runs the Nashville Bureau of our flagship station, KWAM. Pamela was telling us they're expecting about 400,000 people just at the concert.
Yes. And as like I looked up just for fun, because she's coming to Chicago, and her resale tickets are at least $1,500 a pop.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And I saw this video in Atlanta. These people are on the subway. And, you know, these girls are dressed up in, like, sparkly outfits. And the subway stops and all these Taylor Swift people are coming on the train. And the girl's like, no, no, don't let them on. Take the next one. Because you just see this mob of women.
So years ago, I had the unfortunate experience of being in Nashville when there was a Justin Bieber concert.
Oh, no.
And
I think this is worse.
I didn't know what was going on until I got to the hotel. I guess the concert had already started. So I got to the hotel, and the bar of the hotel, it was a very nice hotel in downtown, was packed with moms. And I asked the concierge guy, I'm like, what's up? Do you have like a mom convention? He goes, no, these are the Bieber moms. The kids are at the concert. The moms are getting liquored up.
See, I was going to say, the Taylor Swift concert, it's mostly people my age, so they can transport themselves.
There you go. Well, that's good. And then here in Memphis, we have the Beale Street Blues Festival, which is kicking off.
The Music Fest, yeah. And then you've got, I think, Earth, Wind, and Fire are going to be there. That's the only one I really know. Okay, so, I know I'm getting too old, because now there's people, I'm like, I don't know who that is.
And it's Cinco de Mayo.
And it's Cinco de Mayo.
I hear we're going out after the show.
Yeah, I think we're getting tacos.
Of course we are. And I love that. And what is, I don't want to, if we're going to culturally appropriate, I want to make sure I'm speaking the language correctly.
Okay.
Is it guacamole? Guacamole?
I say guacamole.
Can you say guacamole? Is that how you say it?
Quesadilla.
Quesadilla. Gordita.
Gordita.
Chalupa.
Chalupa. Queso.
Is that Taco Bello?
Oh,
are those real things? Bell? I don't know. You know, Taco Bell is kind of the Americanized version of Mexican
food.
Very
American.
I know that's kind of shocking to people. I don't want
to,
you know.
Sorry to crush somebody's dreams out there.
It's not like, we're not talking Santa Claus, but it's still the same level of impact.
You remember the Chihuahua commercials? Those were the best.
Oh,
yo
yeah.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yo quiero. He would look like a little Yoda. I'll tell you, it's been a busy, you had the fourth, may the fourth be with you.
Yes.
This week. You had the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 come out.
Oh, yes, that too.
By the way, have you seen that yet? It came out last night.
I'm going to see it probably next week.
I hear the music is amazing. And even though it's 2.5 hours?
Yes.
It doesn't feel like it.
I'm not surprised.
That's what
I've
heard.
They're pretty fast-paced movies.
And I hear we learned the origins of the raccoon,
aww,
which apparently is so bad. I've heard people are weeping in the auditorium.
I saw the clip, and I was like, this is going to break my heart. I just know it.
It's terribly tragic. All right, and so tacos. Are we going to Babaloo's?
Yes,
Babaloo's. I love Babaloo's. They make the guacamole right there on the, I think that's
you can add bacon.
No, I think that Americanizes it.
I think so, too.
Yeah, you have to have authenticity.
It's good, though.
No, but it originated, guacamole was originated in Guatemala, right?
Todd.
Guatemala.
Todd.
The G is silent.
Just stop. Stop it.
I'm just saying. All right, let's go.
I'm going to get some angry calls.
Let's go to William in North Carolina. Hey, William, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Just wanted to comment on the N-word. Here's the thing. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I know we're not supposed to say that word. I've been guilty. I've said it in the past. But we need to teach the black people themselves. Yes, I said black people to quit saying it to themselves, too. And then maybe, just maybe, that will be a start on all of us as Americans to quit saying the N-word. And as far as the Marine up there in New York, I don't have but one word for that gentleman. Hoorah!
Hoorah, indeed. William, appreciate your call, and thank you for being pithy as well. Got right to the point, and we can really appreciate that. All right, hang tight, folks. We're going to be getting to more of your calls. By the way, big, big event coming up next week where you have President Trump doing the town hall with CNN over in New Hampshire. And then this weekend, if anybody cares, I'm not sure if anybody actually cares about this, but the coronation of King Charles III and Queen Camilla is going to take place over in the UK. So anyway, if you're interested in that, I may have to go down to the Irish pub and have some fish and chips to commemorate. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, by the way. 844-747-8868. By the way, where is the best taco in America? Is there a place that you prefer? This is Open Line Friday, so you can give us a call and let us know. All right, stick around, everybody. We have our great friend, Pastor Jack Hibbs, coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show. Grace, are you going down to the music fest on the river?
I am
so excited about this.
It'll be a good time.
I'm a big Earth, Wind, and Fire guy.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I like that song, Let's Groove Tonight. That's great. And then September,
which is
great. Yeah, who was it? Somebody did was it Jay-Z? No, somebody did a remake of September.
I don't remember, but I'm sure it wasn't nearly as good.
No. You know what? Let it be. Just let it be. I wonder if our good friend Pastor Jack Hibbs is an Earth, Wind, and Fire guy. He is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Pastor, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely. And I hope things are going well for you guys down in Southern California.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm looking at the awesome Pacific right now, looking at Catalina Island that's just off the coast. It is a picture perfect day.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. It's well, I got to get down there, and actually, I'll be back out later this summer and in the fall. And by the way, I'm sending the manuscript. You are so kind to write the foreword to the book, and I didn't realize as I was going through, you're mentioned quite a bit in this book.
Oh, do I apologize for that, or do I thank you for that?
You should say, well, that remains. I'll let you read the manuscript, and you can decide for yourself. You and our friend, Pastor Paul Chappell, are kind of back and forth.
love Paul. Great people.
No, but Pastor, one of the reasons why it's, you know, we are facing so many attacks on Christians in the culture. And you've really been standing tall and really leading by example there at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California. You have a brand new op-ed for Newsmax calling on the church to stand up against big tech and government censorship. Tell us about it.
Yeah, my absolute burden is for pastors. I want to see pastors stand. And for so many, Todd, they need to find their voice. They may have lost it through who knows what. I don't really care about that, but they need to find their voice. And when the pastor in the pulpit finds their voice regarding the time and the age in which we live in, much like God acknowledged the sons of Issachar, it says in the Old Testament that the sons of Issachar knew about the times and the seasons, and they were able to discern what Israel ought to do. Boy, that describes the pastor of our day, because your church is going to be like your pastor. And if you're a Christian in a church, you're going to wind up emulating that pastor. So we want pastors to lead. And the number one thing that's going on today, as we all feel it, is our rights to stand and to speak truth and freedom, irregardless of feeling. We need to speak the truth in love, but I'm afraid we've sacrificed in the name of something other than love, Todd. We've given up on the truth. So we're calling pastors to get back to speaking publicly in the square and in the pulpit, the truth and love, and to stand like never before, because, again, this may sound self-serving, but I think we are at that juncture now in our nation. The answer is not going to come from the politics. I think people get that. It's not going to come from D.C. It's not going to come from Sacramento. It's going to come from Christian leaders, and we need to stand.
Pastor Jack Hibbs is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, has a new column at Newsmax, The Church Must Stand Against Big Tech and Government Censorship. Has this been a big issue for the Christian community?
You know, it depends on what you're saying, Todd, because if you're going to speak that truth, I mean, I have been canceled and edited and deleted. We've watched, for example, on YouTube, on our live stream, we've watched our numbers, for example, go from a Sunday service live stream where there's 30,000 people, and it drops down to 9,000. Then these things happen almost predictably. We've had some of our messages, of course, blocked. We found out that we got blocked in Sunday sermons for a time in Canada. Via YouTube and via YouTube in the UK as well. It affects us. Here's the bottom line. We don't want to be bombastic. We don't want to be rude or ugly. That would not be Christ-like. But if we're going to speak the truth in an age in which we live in, we ought to do it with a sense of urgency and with love to rescue those who have been blinded. And we want to love them into the kingdom of God. And so, tragically, Todd, that you know this well, you can reach out to someone or preach a message with the utmost integrity and love for a soul, but if that soul doesn't want to receive the forgiveness of God, then they immediately now go hostile. I mean, there used to be a day when people would just walk out of service or just turn you off. And now it's a different story. Bottom line is this. The badge of honor in a day like this, Jesus said, "Beware when all men speak well of you, for so they did the false prophets that came before you." And if we're going to emulate Jesus, then we are going to be known to be in the most loving Christian, while at the same time, just across the street, we're going to be the most hated Christian. So it's hard to reconcile that, but if we're going to be like Jesus, that's what's going to happen.
And that's a fair point. And I think many people, and I've been in the same boat that you guys are in, where we are watching our numbers being throttled by social media. And it's unfortunate. But we have to find those workarounds, and we have to find ways to get the message out there. I'm really excited about the launch of Real Life Network later this month, and my understanding is the Todd Stern Show is going to be a part of the great lineup over there.
Todd, you didn't even know this, but you were already on the approved programming agenda list before your team was notified.
I'm honored. Wow.
We are going to here. In fact, this came out of the COVID era circus. And that was because we were holding services. That's when canceling. And that's when the attacks really ratcheted up and they've not backed off. Here's the deal. About 2 years ago, we embarked upon a venture to figure out how in this world can we forward the gospel with safe, conservative Christian content and include character, moral building programming, which means things like Little House on the Prairie or Ozzie and Harriet. But it's not just preaching, though it's going to be great. We got great teachers. We got great Christian programming. Example, the Todd Stern Show. And it's going to be 24/7, 365, safe, can't get canceled, Christian broadcasting. It's called the Real Life Network. The launch date is Sunday, May 28th, which is Pentecost Sunday. And it's going to function just like Netflix, just like Hulu, just like Prime. Except here's what's fun about it, Todd. God has blessed so much that it's free for the subscriber and it's free for the broadcaster. Todd Starnes will pay nothing to have his program on. Neither will anyone pay to watch it. It is remarkable. And we've got people like Billy Graham. We've got Charles Stanley in our Legacy series, Adrian Rogers, my own pastor, Chuck Smith. But we've got contemporary guys. Well, myself, we've got you. We've got pastors that we just love and adore that teach the truth. It's going to be great, Todd.
No, I'm excited. I'm on the website right now looking at it, and it's this is very, very exciting. And I know this is going to it's going to be like a spaceship taking off. This is going to be huge. RealLifeNetwork.com if you'd like to sign up for updates and get more information. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. So can I be like you're kind of like Bill O'Reilly? Is that going to be like what you're thinking here?
Better.
Awesome.
Look, Bill O'Reilly, something. Todd Starnes is better.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna have to add another chapter to the book. Jack Hibbs is the best. Oh,
I appreciate you, brother.
This is great. Likewise, and again, folks, if you want more information about Pastor Hibbs, jackhibbs.com. But and we're gonna get you back on as we get ready to launch the network. RealLifeNetwork.com, folks. This is just so exciting. What's coming up Sunday at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills? What's coming up this weekend?
Wow. Well, here's one of the reasons why this upcoming Sunday is going to get canceled. Dr. Frank Turek and I are going to do a co-service, which we've never done before. In fact, the last time I did this was with Secretary Mike Pompeo, but this is going to be with Dr. Frank Turek. We're going to do a co-teaching on what are the ramifications, the origins, and the spiritual response to the transgender LGBTQ agenda regarding the Bible. How does the Bible answer the dilemma of this current situation today?
Wow. That's going to be fascinating. And folks, that is going to, if you're not in Southern California, I'm sure you can go to the church's website and get all the information you need on the services. Pastor, always appreciate you and the great work, and thanks for taking a stand.
Love you, Todd. I'll see you soon, my brother.
All right. Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. What a great church. And if you're ever in Southern California, I recommend two churches. There are so many great churches, but you got to go hear Pastor Jack preach. You got to go hear Pastor Paul Chapel preach at the Lancaster Baptist Church up in the high desert. So just good people, good people. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. It is Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about. Again, 844-747-8868. Newsmax, by the way, conducting an urgent poll, and they want to know your opinion of Tucker Carlson. Specifically, should Tucker be back on TV? Now, it is super simple to vote in the Newsmax poll. All you have to do is take out your smartphone and text the word skip to 39747. Now, I've already voted. You can, too. Let your voice be heard. Text the word skip to 39747. And remember that millions of Americans are already making the switch to Newsmax. I've made the switch. Grace Baker's made the switch. And you can, too. Again, we want to know, should Tucker Carlson be back on TV? Stand up with Tucker and text the word skip to 39747. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. So I'm going to play some audio from Senator John Kennedy. I love this guy. He is the official wordsmith of the United States Senate, and he was grilling a deputy director of the U.S. Department of Energy. You know, I just want to say one thing about all of this global warming nonsense. I was looking at a photograph. Someone shared this, and it was, believe it or not, I think it was on NPR or someplace. I don't know. Anyway, it was about Ellis Island. And it really had nothing to do with global warming at all. It was about Ellis Island. But they showed a picture of Ellis Island back in the 1800s, right? And then they showed a picture of Ellis Island today. Now, just an observation. Ellis Island is still above water. So the water levels have not changed at all in 150, 180, however many years. So Senator Kennedy had some questions about temperature levels. I want you to listen to this back and forth. Cut number 10, please.
If we spend $50 trillion to become carbon neutral in the United States of America by 2050, you're the Deputy Secretary of Energy. Give me your estimate of how much that is going to reduce world temperatures.
So first of all, it's a net cost. It's what benefits we're having from getting our act together and reducing all of those climate benefits. We're seeing.
Let me ask again. Maybe I'm not being clear. If we spent $50 trillion to become carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States of America, how much is that going to reduce world temperatures?
This is a global problem. So we need to reduce our emissions and we need to do everything we can.
How much, if we do our part, is it going to reduce world temperatures?
So we're 13% of global emissions.
You don't know, do you? You don't know, do you?
You can do the math. We need to.
You don't know, do you, Mr. Secretary?
So we're 13% of
global
emissions.
If you know, why won't you tell me?
If we went to zero, that would be 13%.
You don't know, do you? You just want us to spend $50 trillion. And you don't have the slightest idea whether it's going to reduce world temperatures. Now, I'm all for carbon neutrality, but you're the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Energy, and you're advocating we spend trillions of dollars to seek carbon neutrality, and you can't, and this isn't your money or my money, it's taxpayer money, and you can't tell me how much it's going to lower world temperatures? Or you won't tell me? You know, but you won't?
In my heart of hearts, there is no way the world gets its act together on climate change unless the U.S. leads.
Tell me how much it's going to reduce. You can't tell me.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. And that's how you do it, because they can't tell. The guy couldn't, because they don't know. They don't know anything, but they want to spend a lot of money so they can still not know. So good for you, Senator Kennedy, for standing your ground, sir. Good for you. All right, a story out of the Dayton, Ohio area where a school has crowned two LGBTQ-ish students as prom king and queen. So the king is a dude who thinks he's a girl and the queen is a chick. I think that's how that works. Cut number 11, please.
Given the crown and I put on my head, there's a lot of boos in the crowd. I didn't hear them. I only heard the congratulating, which I was very thankful for.
Despite support from peers, Conley and non-binary senior Rose Green received negative feedback online. It was hurtful to Conley, and it took her time to heal.
It's very demeaning, and it takes a lot for an individual to be able to bring themselves back to who they are and believing in themselves and being fully confident and not letting things like that pull them out of who they are as a person.
For as many haters, there was plenty of support as seen at a rally before the Board of Education meeting.
Absolutely. Every kid should have the opportunity to be prom king, prom queen, anything they want to be. So I support the school and the students voting for who they want to be prom queen and king. I love that the community is here backing up these kids, and some kids are here as well, speaking out for what they believe in and supporting their friends and their family here.
Inside the meeting, some community members shared a different opinion. For Joe Hoverholzer, he believes prom king and queen should be a biological male and female.
The last few years throughout all of history in the world, it's kind of been understood. So so for whatever reason, the last few years, it's been questioned, and I just don't think that's a good thing for society.
The Kettering City Schools Board of Education has no intention of taking any action, as they typically let student council handle the prom event. In Kettering, Seth Bird at 2 News.
All right, there you go. Man, that reporter needs to put a little bit of pep in the step there, right? I mean, it's just kind of like NPR, you know. Now, this is a hot story. So anyway, thehill.com is all over this story. Again, you heard the name of the school, Kettering High School, or Fairmont High School in Kettering, Ohio. And this is a history-making moment. They have crowned two gay students as king and queen. Deshaun Conley and Rosie Green, both of them wearing skirts. And Board of Education, everybody's all upset about all of this. But you heard from the children at the school. And I'm telling you, I think we have lost this generation. I really do. All these kids think that you can be what you want to be. They bought into the indoctrination of the propaganda. Jasmine Brown is a 2014 grad. She says every kid should have the opportunity to be prom king and prom queen. Anything you want to be. Anything you want to be. You want to be a kumquat, be a kumquat. You want to be a gerbil, be a gerbil. What do we care? Jeez, Alou. All right, there you go. Folks, homeschool your children. It really is that simple. All right, we got to take a break here. Biden says there was going to be a major press conference, and the White House says he doesn't know what he's talking about. We'll keep you posted. What if he just wanders out in his bathrobe with a little thing of ice cream? Haagen-Dazs. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America. Hope you're doing well today. A lot going on. Just a lot going on around the nation. By the way, next week is going to be insane. President Trump on CNN for the town hall. That's on Monday. On Tuesday, President Biden meeting with Republicans over the debt ceiling debate. So we're going to have a lot going on next week as well. All right, today is Open Line Friday. That means we take whatever questions you might have. Just give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always good to have our friend from radio station KXEL, the Blowtorch in Corn Country. No, that's not right. The Heartland, Jeff Katz. Stein.
Do you want to just go from the top of the hour again?
You know, can we just rewind and just start all over again?
This is why rehearsals are helpful. Yeah, just go ahead. Start again.
Ladies and gentlemen, from radio station KXEL, the Blowtorch of Iowa, it's Jeff Stein.
Oh, where? I want to meet that guy. Oh, how are you, Mr. Stein?
Wow. It has been a weird week around here, Stein. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, I tell you, it's every time you think you have heard it all, or the crazy is out in full, it gets worse, it gets sillier. You cannot make up fiction like this. Fiction writers have a hard time these days because their stuff pales in comparison with the reality out there.
Oh, it's true. As a matter of fact, I think this, speaking of crazy and chaos, I think the sound clip from the San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting really sums up what's happening in the country right now. Take a listen to this, yes. Stein.
I hate a lot of people on this board for the reasons that led up to Banco Brown's death. So often I prepare something, maybe it's a little historical, you know, maybe a little poetic, whatever. There's a lot of performative people on this board who will say one thing in support of black people, homeless people, trans people, and then immediately stab you in the face, being racist, transphobic, anti-homeless. So I don't have any words prepared today. I just want you to feel our pain. I don't know if you can at this point based off your policy choices, but I have to pretend you have some form of empathy left. So I am going to spend the next minute screaming, because that is what is going on in here. That is what the trans genocide in this country, in this city, has brought me to.
Buckle up, Stein. Yes. Let it out, baby. Let it out, darling.
Imagine that.
You know, Jeff Stein, thank you there, Dylan. Just a thought here. I wonder if she's ever taken the Dale Carnegie class, how to win friends and influence
people. Well, obviously she's a regular because she spoke in a familiar way about, normally when I come before you, I have prepared remarks, etc. My guess, Todd, is that she made more sense with the ear-splitting scream than in any of the prepared remarks she had made in the prior months combined.
Well said. It's true. It's true. By the way, some breaking news just came across. The governor of New York is now changing positions on the subway death. And she's saying that Jordan Neely was killed for being a passenger on the subway. That's the breaking news.
Well, when the people that we elect, that we trust to take care of public safety, to lead us, cannot in any way show strength, show a willingness to do their jobs, and instead just capitulate to the screaming memes like those in San Francisco, that's what makes me weep for our republic.
Jeff, we brought you on to talk about this story you sent us from Black Hawk County, where the Black Hawk County Board of Health now recognizes bias as a public health crisis. So let me see if I understand this. So if I like Popeye's fried chicken instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken, that would be a bias. Does that qualify in this public health crisis they're talking about?
Well, first I have to determine whether you have good taste in making that selection and whether or not the prevailing wisdom of the ruling class goes along. Because you might prefer Popeyes. And by the way, we have both locations. We are an equal opportunity capitalistic city. We have both Popeyes and KFC. But if the folks running the Board of Health don't like the choice you made, they're going to label it as bias. But I would suggest that I'm oppressed by their decisions. And so now I am going to apply for free health care through the Board of Health.
This is shocking. All forms of bias. So that covers everything. Grace Baker is a big Memphis Tigers basketball fan. So that means she has a bias, which would have to be included here. There is no wiggle room, no loophole. All forms of bias, including racism, are a public health crisis.
And in case you were not aware of what the other forms might be, they enunciated it in this news release yesterday. Denouncing negative forms of bias, including but not limited, Todd, to racism, transphobia, heterosexism. I had to look that one up.
What is that one? I'm not familiar.
Well, I can tell you that Oxford defines it as discrimination or prejudice against gay people on the assumption that heterosexuality is the normal sexual orientation.
Oh, geez, Lou.
By the way, xenophobia, ableism, oppression, and sexism also part of this. So the thing that's also interesting, negative forms of bias have been denounced. What's a positive form of bias? I'm finding this very difficult to understand. Now, this really has its genesis, Todd, in 2020. And what's interesting is they were working with language like this as a general policy before the George Floyd incident and before COVID. Well, there was another county in Iowa down the road. The second largest city is Cedar Rapids. Linn County, during the pandemic, declared that racism is a public health crisis in that county. So this is now getting broader. Notice it's including racism, but more than just racism. So, journalist that I are, I decided to see how big a problem it was because I come to work here every day and I didn't notice that this was a problem. So I sent the folks who sent me this news release that we've been referencing, I sent an email that was, I think, polite. I simply said, could you share if any incidents of bias in these forms have been reported to the board or have led to substandard care? No response.
Jeff, I'm curious here. What is the point of all of this? What does this mean?
It is simply wokeism and doubling down to create a solution for a problem that does not exist. And this was my point in asking, how many cases are there? How many times are you finding that racism, or heaven forbid, heterosexism, is denying people critical care? Because above all, I want people to be healthy, Todd. I don't want there to be any reason that someone is denied care. I'm just simply trying to figure out if it's happening. And the silence is deafening. The fact that in that news release, they did not cite a single case where this is justifiable, necessary, etc., that tells you a lot. Now, I also ran a few numbers for you and the audience. This county where this happened, this is Waterloo and Cedar Falls, Public University in Cedar Falls, 38.4% registered Democrats, 33.2% registered Republicans, 28.6% registered independents. It is one of the few blue counties in Iowa, and that's what you're seeing. They're losing everything else in a red state, and so what little area they can control, they're going to push even further. And you asked a moment ago, what's the end goal? They indicated that that position statement, all forms of bias, including racism, are a public health crisis. They'll use that to respond to, quote, current public health issues as they arise. You and I and everybody with half a brain behind a microphone has said ever since the pandemic started, they're simply setting precedent for something else in the future. And we let them do it during the pandemic. And now they're going to expand and expand and expand these definitions, and they're going to strike at the time that where they really want to consolidate power.
And one of the things we discovered during the China virus pandemic is that these unelected boards and agencies were all of a sudden given these great powers to strip away your civil liberties. And that's where I would see this being a grave concern here.
Absolutely right, because what they're saying is they're going to respond to health issues by favoring those who are oppressed. So are you telling me that as a heterosexual, I didn't have to look that up, I know what that is, heterosexual Caucasian male, again, I know what that is, I'm going to have to stand way back in line to make sure that we do not alienate and commit acts of racism, transphobia, xenophobia, etc.? Is this where we're going? Preferential health care in this case? Again, I don't want anybody to be denied, but that includes me as well.
It's a great point. All right, Jeff, we're going to have to leave it there. Before we do, though, curious, any presidential hopefuls lurking around Iowa these days?
Oh, heavens. You cannot swing a cat without hitting several presidential candidates. Asia Hutchinson was here not long ago. Vivek Ramaswamy has a bus tour coming up again. More people that I've never heard of. Ron DeSantis, I've heard of him. He is coming to appear at a Northwest Iowa congressman's annual event that is in less than 2 weeks. So that will be the second big trip for DeSantis to this state. Larry Elder was here a couple of weeks ago just before he formally announced. So 'tis the season, my friend.
It is indeed, and we'll be checking back in with you. Always great to have you on the program. Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL. Thanks, Jeff.
Todd, appreciate it greatly.
All right. Folks, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Let's head right over to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Mike from Georgia, listening to us on WDUN on this Friday. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
You was talking about the water on Ellis Island, you know, how it hasn't moved. I believe it was a James Bond movie in the Mediterranean Sea. They showed it. You know, it's a little thing, way smaller than Ellis Island, but they showed the water, and they told how long it had been there for some reason, and it ain't went up or down either. And I just wanted to mention that. They won't talk that. And, of course, the Bible says the Lord said for the sea to come here no further. And we know it splashes up and stuff, and there are storms, but it don't change.
No, sir, it does not, does it, Mike? And what does that tell you?
that stuff ain't true.
It's a load of hooey. Grade A hooey, yep. Sir.
Yep. It's they won't look at the things that are so. That stood for all, that one thing I know is almost 200 years. And Ellis Island, I don't know when it was built, but it ain't sinking.
No, sir, it's not. And Mike, you know, that's why I love talk radio is that, you know, we have folks just like yourself. You've got plenty of common sense. You do your homework and you bring the facts to the table. Mike, appreciate that call and thank you for listening. Let's go to John in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, John. A beautiful, sunny Eastern North Carolina day. I want to know when we're going to get our congressmen and senators to go ahead and get rid of the Johnson Amendment so pastors can speak freely in the pulpit about any matter they choose to, since they allow Kamala Harris to run around during election time in pulpits supporting or endorsing the president and herself, but yet they didn't take the 503C funding away from those churches or never did anything about it. But yet if somebody else does, they could try to take away their tax exemption and harm the church. Now, yeah. That's one of the reasons why I feel the pastors aren't doing what they really truly need to do.
Right. No, they're not. And, well, the reality is that was the one thing that President Trump could not get accomplished, which is the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. The Senate Democrats used a parliamentary procedure to block that from happening. Now, the Johnson Amendment, going back to the 1950s, when Lyndon Johnson was ruling with an iron fist in Congress, and the problem was that Johnson was facing some stiff opposition from the religious community there in Texas. And he wanted to figure out a way to stifle the religious groups, the church groups. And that's why they call it the Johnson Amendment, is because he shoved that through Congress and it effectively blocks churches from talking about and endorsing candidates. Now, is it enforced? Very rarely. And when it is, they typically go after conservative churches. But they don't go after the black churches. They give those folks a very, very, very wide berth. So, John, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Appreciate that. Coming up, we're going to be talking to the folks who handled the case involving that hospital out in Oklahoma. Very excited about that. Some good news on that case. But again, the issue here is we're going to be coming under attack as people of faith, no doubt about it. But we have to be willing to fight back. Do not back down, and do not be silenced. Don't let him get away with it. That's the whole message here. Don't let him get away with it. By the way, if you haven't already done so, head over to our website, toddstearns.com. We have so many great things for you to read there, great stories, great content. You can download our free podcast. It comes out every afternoon after the show. So if you miss an interview, you can go back and you can listen to it at your leisure. And you can also download our free newsletter. We send that out whenever there is a big breaking news story that normally you will not see in the mainstream media. So again, toddstearns.com. Mother's Day coming up very soon, and that's a great opportunity for you to get a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. You can get it wherever you buy your books. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. This is The Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Open line Friday today, 844-747-8868. So we've been telling you for the past several days about this story out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, St. Francis Hospital, the Biden administration declaring war on the hospital's eternal flame located in the hospital chapel. Well, the good news is, and we do have some good news, and I'm going to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and let Lori Windham from the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty tell you what that good news is. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hey, Todd, thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be here on a Friday with good news.
And let's set up the story and tell us what happened, and then we will share that great news with the audience.
Yes. So St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa has been serving its community for many, many years. It's a Catholic health system, and so in all of their hospitals, they have a chapel with a living flame to symbolize the presence of Christ. This is something that's a really important part of their worship. If you can believe it, the most recent time they had to get approved to be able to provide help to Medicare and Medicaid and CHIP patients, the approval, the government was fine with flames happening in the kitchen for pilot lights or flames associated with gas dryers, but they were not okay with the living flame in the hospital chapel, even though it was inside a glass holder, inside another glass holder with a brass top on top of it, affixed to a wall up and away from people. They still said, nope, this is a fire hazard. It has to go.
And Lori, as far as we know, the local fire marshal there has never had an issue with this eternal flame. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's been there for many years. The fire marshal has always approved it. Previous inspections have had nothing bad to say about it.
So what was it that brought the flame to the attention of the Biden administration and this? I believe it's a group connected to the Department of Health and Human Services.
Right. So there's a regular process that hospitals go through. They get inspected to make sure they're providing excellent care, as St. Francis is. And in this inspection, they looked and saw that there was a living flame in the hospital chapel and said, nope, that's a flame that has to go. And St. Francis explained what this was, that it was part of their religious ministry, that it was safe. They take fire safety very seriously. They've taken all these precautions. They explained that, and the authorities stood firm. And so they appealed to the federal agency, HHS, that oversees all of this. And they explained how that this is a part of their religious exercise. And they also explained the law and the fact that our Constitution and our laws protect their religious freedom. And the bureaucrats said, nope, that's a flame. You can't have it in the hospital. And so we are going to deny your ability to continue serving elderly, poor, and disabled patients unless you blow out the flame.
And so the hospital contacted you guys, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and what happened at that point?
Well, we sent a letter to Health and Human Services explaining to them that this was a violation of the law, and it wasn't even a close case. You know, I've been doing religious liberty at Beckett for a long time, and I've seen hard cases. This isn't one of them.
Right.
This is a really easy case. It's perfectly safe, and there's absolutely no need cut off the hospital's ability to serve its community. And so we sent a letter. We made that public and made it clear that this was going to go to court if we had to. The clock was ticking. And if it went to court, St. Francis was going to win.
And, of course, the good news came earlier this morning. And tell our listeners what happened.
Yes, it is great news. The federal bureaucrats have seen the light and acknowledge that the flame can continue to glow in the St. Francis Hospital Chapel. They've recognized that this is not a hazard, and this is something that can be that will be continued, and have agreed that they are not going to threaten their ability to treat patients who rely on Medicare or Medicaid at the hospital.
Well, I think it's just tremendous news, and it would not have happened had they not contacted Beckett. And you guys are there on the front lines fighting these kinds of cases. And I'm curious, Lori, is this something of an anomaly, or have you all seen an uptick in the number of cases involving attacks on religious freedom?
You know, what we have definitely seen is with HHS in particular, there's been a real refusal to understand the importance of religious freedom. This is the same people who we had to take all the way to the Supreme Court with Hobby Lobby, all the way to the Supreme Court with the Little Sisters of the Poor. And so, you know, I'd say that this is a pattern with HHS in particular, that they have not recognized the importance of religious freedom.
All right. Lori Windham, congratulations. Now, where can people go if they want to get more information about the great work that you guys are doing at Beckett?
Well, thank you, Todd. You can always visit us at BeckettLaw.org, at BeckettLaw on Twitter. And we do religious liberty, only religious liberty. We serve all of our clients free of charge.
All right. And do great work at that. Lori, congratulations, and hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Todd. Thank you so much.
All right. There you go, folks. Lori Windham, she is an attorney with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty and Score One for the Good Guys. Man, Joe Biden and his administration do not like the Catholics. I don't know what's up with that. Something's weird. By the way, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is at the border right now preparing for Title 42 ending. We're, what, 6 days away, and all you know what's going to break loose. And Mayorkas says, yeah, this is really just a regional issue. He's speaking right now. So anyway, we'll monitor those comments. We are going to take, you know what, let's go to the phones here. And we'll take Steve before we go to break. Steve in Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. You're talking about climate change. This is something I've been thinking about and wanted to ask if you'd ever heard anything about this. You would think with all the talk about solar and wind and electric cars that are going to save the planet as the new energy sources. Have you heard anything about the oil companies investing any of their money or the coal companies investing any of their money in these new energy sources?
No, no, not at all.
Isn't it kind of common business practice? If you see a change, if you control a market and you kind of see a change in that market, and especially if you have deep pockets like the fossil fuel companies do, you would get out there and get control of that new market.
Well, you would certainly think so, but look, I think everyone truly understands what's really going on here, and there's no way that you're going to have 100% participation in, for example, electric vehicles. Not going to happen. No. It's never going to happen.
Well, everybody doesn't understand that, or they wouldn't still be talking the crazy stuff.
Well, it's
follow the money. If there's a future in that stuff, I guarantee you the oil companies right now would have control of all of it.
Yep, that's it. You're right about that. All right, Steve, good hearing from you, sir. All right, Steve from Arkansas, thank you for that. Oh, have you heard this story? This is from Denver. There was a big city council meeting, and a member of the city council, her name is Candy, Is this true? Is this how you pronounce? Is this really how you pronounce the name Chewbacca? All right. We should have done this story on May the 4th be with you. So Denver City Council member Candy Chewbacca, daughter of I don't know. Anyway, she's very upset with all you white business owners out there. And she says that white business owners need to be taxed extra as a form of reparation. I'm not making this up. Take a listen.
Capitalism was built on stolen land, stolen labor, and stolen resources. And a check today could not undo the cumulative impact of generations of that stolen wealth in all of those categories. And so I think it has to come in the form of land, labor, and resources in an ongoing fashion. And there are structures that we have that could be flipped to begin to do that, that reparations. In fact, my opponent here mentioned Five Points and the corridor and what has happened to our businesses there. Part of what has catalyzed that exponential decimation of black businesses is the Five Points bid, the Business Improvement District, which further steals from the community through taxation. And I think there's a model that could be redistributed. Instead of a bid collecting extra taxation from the black and brown businesses that are struggling, you could be collecting those extra taxes from white-led businesses all over the city and redistributing them to black and brown-owned businesses who are not part of it or who are simply just black or brown-owned. And that's one way to give back in the business form fashion. I think when we talk about resources being returned, this is where consumer-owned or municipally-owned resources are important because we are locked out of owning our control or over our basic needs like water or utilities or any of those things. There is a way for us to change that structure and put black and brown people in ownership positions over our basic needs. I also really want to point out that the Basic Income Project could be, if it were focused, an important way to return a check to an individual in an ongoing fashion. But in its current format, is not reparations or not close to reparations. One, it doesn't focus on black and brown people. Two, what they are experimenting with is unhoused people, and it's not a livable or prosperous wage. It is a welfare wage, and we know how that has worked. Those types of checks have not served us well.
Okay, we enough of you. Enough of you. All right, thank you, Ms. Chewbacca. They're at the Denver City Council. Look, here's the bottom line. I don't necessarily have a problem with this, provided it is voluntary. So if you are a white business owner and you believe that you need to be taxed at a higher amount to pay for the sins of whoever, because I don't believe they had slavery in Colorado. I'll have to do my homework on that. You guys can fact check me. But anyway, at least they haven't had any slaves in the past 20 years that I know of. But if you as a white business owner want to pay money to a minority group, then have at it. Who am I to stop you? Who am I to stop you, ladies and gentlemen? But they're not getting a penny out of me. I'm just telling you. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Down to the Mississippi River tonight. Gonna watch Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's gonna be a lot of fun. Grace Baker, it's gonna be a big concert.
It's gonna be rainy, I think.
It's all right.
But it's okay. You know, Wind and Fire will be there, so it's okay.
Let's just hope the earth doesn't get too muddy. All right. Well, there you go. What do you have big plans? I know we're going to Bombaloose for tacos.
Yeah, and then I think I'm just having dinner with some friends and going down to the University of Memphis graduation tomorrow for a for somebody. So.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. All right, so big U of M graduation ceremony.
So that'll be going on, and the Bill Street Music Festival, so parking's going to be a nightmare.
Oh, it's going to be a mess.
But not as bad as Nashville this weekend.
That's true.
Taylor Swift.
400,000 people at a Taylor Swift. What do they call her fans?
Not just her, but Janet Jackson's going to be around, and apparently Trevor Noah and Oprah Winfrey.
Nobody cares about Trevor Noah.
No.
There'll be like three people.
Yeah, the rest are for Taylor Swift. Wow. Swifties.
Swifties?
Yeah, Swifties.
I thought would they call them exes? She's had a lot, right?
She's got a lot of those too.
Yeah, a lot of exes. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Mark from the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
I see Grace found her way back home.
She did, Mark. We're trying to figure out a way to keep her back here.
You know how you do that? You just fork out the dinero.
Fork out the Mark, I'm hanging up on you now. That's
Hey, I got an idea for those reparations. That there's plenty of money in pro sports, you know, to help a brother out. And let's see how that works for them. You know, let some of these NFL players and NBA players pay for it. Like, you know, Mr. 2.0 GPA, mouth LeBron James, or maybe Steph Curry. And you look at these new players, they're getting $250 million for 4 years That's crazy amounts of money.
It's nuts. I like this idea.
Yeah, can you see them having to fork out that money? They'd be like, we're not giving them that money. We worked hard for this money. Whoa, wait a minute. That's your brother, man. You can't be doing them that way.
Let's go back in time to O.J. Simpson. And, you know, the big rub in the black community about O.J. was that they felt like he abandoned the black community by moving to, you know, the big white exclusive ritzy area of Los Angeles.
Buffalo.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was a big controversy. And then he married a white woman, so.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, go after these NBA players. They're making so much money. You got so much empathy for these people and the poor people. Start forking out some of your money.
I love it. I think it's a brilliant idea. All right. We'll put a call into LeBron's people. We'll let you know what he says, Mark.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
All right. Yeah. Gordito Supremo. Thank you. All right. I didn't do well in Spanish, Grace.
I can tell. You people need some help.
Hey, look, Grace, I want to ask you a question. You're a woman. So, anthropology.
Yeah.
So that's like a ladies' thing, right?
Yes.
A ladies' store.
Yes.
So they're catching a lot of flack because they have hired some sort of a transgender dude to be a spokesmodel, I guess.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say because they're too expensive, because that is very true.
I've heard it's a high-end.
Expensive, yes. I only buy stuff on clearance.
Oh, okay. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you're budget conscious.
Yes.
You got to be.
But so, okay, so now they've hired a dude for their clothing, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's over at ToddStearns.com, we've got the video. And the thing is, I don't think the guy is actually trying very hard to pretend that he's a dude in a dress. That's what's weird about this. So the guy may or may not be non-binary. But anyway, people are very upset. Women especially. They actually shut off the comments to the Instagram feed. Oof.
Well, it's getting kind of frustrating from, I can't go shop anywhere.
And we don't want to be terribly graphic, but we've got the video at ToddStearns.com. And the guy spreads his legs in this dress. And I will just let one woman explain it. She wrote on social media, seriously, I don't want to see a man's bulge as he's twirling in a dress. This is not the way to go to anthropology.
Oh, no.
Looks like my recent purchases are going back to the store.
Man. Yeah, just ridiculous. I don't understand. Like, I can't get Maybelline makeup. Apparently, Dylan Mulvaney's like a spokesperson for them. I'm like, I'm running out of options here, people.
Yeah, trust me. That dude don't look like no lady.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He needs to go back.
So anyway, I'm just wondering, are we reaching a point where there's not going to be a place for women in female athletics or fashion?
I think we're going to get to that point.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, folks, it's been a crazy week around here, and next week is going to be even crazier. Get out. Enjoy the great weekend. A lot going on all over the nation. If you're in Memphis, drop by the Beale Street Music Fest. You might run into me or Grace or somebody. I don't know. I want to thank our great team here, Grace and Dylan. Been a lot of fun, folks. You get out there, have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.